and lending your voices to carols and singing tonight. You know, at Christmas, sometimes children get confused. Have you heard of the children that were not really understanding the correct names of some of the Christmas carols? There was the child who thought that we were singing a song called Deck the Halls with Buddy Holly. And then some thought we were singing Oh Come Froggy Faithful. Now, maybe if we're singing in the morning, we're the Froggy Faithful. How about We Three Kings of Porridge and Tar? Or one child thought we were singing On the First Day of Christmas My Tulip Gave to Me. Sleep in Heavenly Peas. And then later on, we'll perspire by as we dream by the fire. No sweat for that one. But this Christmas, what we thought we'd do at Cornerstone is try and make the case for Christmas. In fact, we've got a great little booklet that we've been using. It's called The Case for Christmas. And we've been looking at different ways that the Bible makes a case for Christmas. And we went through a number of the four different gospel accounts. And last week we talked about John. And I want to read something that John wrote, not in his gospel, but he wrote later three letters. And in his first letter, we find just about at the end of the Bible, he says this. And I'm reading from the Message, if you're familiar with that. Listen to what he says. I think this is very, very captivating, especially as we think about it in the context of Christmas. He said to his dear friends, "From the very first day we were there, taking it all in. We heard it with our own ears. We saw it with our own eyes. We verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. And now we're telling you in most sober prose that what we witnessed was incredibly this: the infinite life of God Himself took shape before us. We saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you so that you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Our motive for writing is simply this: we want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy. This, in essence, is the message we heard from Christ and are passing on to you. God is light, pure light. There's not a trace of darkness in Him. If we claim that we experience a shared life with Him and continue to stumble around in the dark, we're obviously lying through our teeth. We're not living what we claim. But if we walk in the light, God Himself being the light, we also experience a shared life with one another as the sacrificed blood of Jesus, God's Son, purges all our sin." Well, as I was telling you, over the four Sundays of Advent, we've thought about the ways in which the famous writers of Scripture made a case for Christmas. These fellows, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, writers obviously of the first four books of the New Testament. And more than one church has beautiful stained glass representation of these four evangelists. And it's not... It's not surprising that that would be a great representation in a church, because these four writers give us, you know, like four different lenses, four different perspectives, four wonderful cases for Christmas, or cases for Jesus, His life and His mission. One scholar, N.T. Wright, says this about the Gospels: they should be read as biographies with a difference. Not just Jesus went here, then Jesus did this, and then He went there, but they're biographies of what Jesus did, what He said, how He lived His life, but in the context of God's big story, God's big story of bringing salvation to the world. N.T. Wright says the four Gospels present themselves as the climax of the story of Israel. And what is this story of Israel? Well, the angels said it this way to the shepherds: "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord." That's from Luke's writing. Joseph was told in the book of Matthew, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And John tells us that in Jesus is life, and that life is the light of all mankind. Now, there's a number of wonderful traditions at Christmas time. You might even be wondering, what's this box here? Because gift giving maybe is on your mind. What am I going to get for Christmas tomorrow? Or I wonder if the store is still open, if I can stop by there on my way home. Men, you should have planned better. But consider this meme. I saw this today and I thought this was priceless. Here are the three wise men and they say, just to be perfectly clear, these gifts are for your birthday and Christmas. So if you're born, if you have a birthday somewhat close to Christmas, you can appreciate, you probably heard this sentiment before. I wonder if you would consider some of the decorations. I discovered something, and this has been around for about 160 years, so I should have figured this out earlier, but I encountered something last night. We ventured down to the Christmas market in downtown Vancouver. So our family, along with about 80% of the rest of the GVRD, were there squished into the plaza and, you know, meeting people that I never intended to. And I came upon a booth that was selling the Herrnhut Star. Now, Herrnhut is, I piqued my interest right away because I know from church history that Herrnhut is the community of the Moravian church in Germany that dates all the way back to the 1700s. And in the Moravian boarding school at some point in the 1800s, the mathematics teacher decided he would develop this special star in order to teach geometry to his students. And what we have now is actually beautiful decorations that are symbolic of the light that shone into this world because of Christmas. I went on to the website and I learned that you can also buy from the folks in Herrnhut a lovely Lichterbogen. Is that what this is called? Lichterbogen. I want to buy one just so I can tell people the name of it. Lichterbogen. And it's to do with the light again at Christmas. There's another decoration that comes from Germany, Sweden, Denmark, it's familiar. And it was something that was very special when I was a child. I couldn't wait for my father to go up into the attic and get down the Christmas decorations. I thought when I was a kid, he was going to the end of the world. He came down the ladder and there was all these boxes and then we started unpacking. And in one of the boxes, we would find this. And I wonder if already you're thinking, I think I know what he's putting together. And this is something that's fascinated me from the time I was a child. We would assemble this special chime, and I couldn't wait to get it all put together. This year, as I pulled it out, I hunted and hunted around for the... I've got to make sure I get it right. There we are. I hunted and hunted for the right type of candles, because we need candles for this. This is very important. Get the bells on here. How many people have one of these at home? Have you got it set up? And you're wondering, how come this guy can't do it faster? He must have been at the market too long last night. Here we are. The candles. And then, of course, we've got the little angels, one on top. And then this is the most delicate and difficult part of the whole operation. Have you done this? Put one candle, one on there. And then we get one more here. And already you might hear a little bit of the chime. But I think the beauty of this design, of this special chime, it's also called a Christmas or an angel abra as well. And the beauty of this is how the candles function. Do you know what's going to happen when I light these? They're going to be more visible. Why don't we take the lights down a little bit more just so we can really appreciate this. And the heat is going to rise from the candles. And if we're very quiet, you can start to hear the chime. Can everyone hear it? There we go. So I was thinking this year about these four testimonies we have, these four volumes. You know, Matthew tells us that Jesus is the promised king. Maybe you can imagine with me that we've got these four candles here and they stand for the four gospels. Mark proclaims Jesus as the Son of God, who eclipses all other deities and all other idols that people set up in their lives. Luke tells us that Jesus is the Son of Man who came to seek and to save the lost. John tells us that Jesus is the Word of God. He's the living explanation and expression of who God is, because He Himself is God in the flesh. And so the question I have for you tonight is, can you hear? Can you hear the chime? Can you hear the message of who Jesus is? Of course, we live in a society where, as beautiful and wonderful as Christmas is, the true message of Christmas can get overshadowed. Will you believe the message about Jesus? It's really something when you think about the light of a single candle. It doesn't appear very bright, but candles have been punching holes in darkness for millennia. And in fact, science decided that they would describe a unit of measurement of luminosity to using the phrase candle power, right? Now, when I say candles and you're thinking about faith and religion, we might say, oh yeah, it's easy to think of the role of candles in religion. In September, I slipped into this church. Incredible. It's in downtown Paris. It's called Église Saint Mary. And I was just fascinated with it. Just so old, so beautiful. And I grabbed a postcard and all kinds of candlelight that is spread out there. But we're not talking about candlelight like some ritual. The pastor lights this one and David has lit the love candle for Advent for us, and we go away and we forget about it. But we're talking about the light of Jesus. You know, when John told us about the light of Jesus coming into this world, he said he's full of grace and truth. And so the light that Jesus wants to give to your heart and to mine tonight is the light of who he is. The light and the truth and the grace that he has come to this world to fully reveal God to us and to bring us back, to rescue us, and to bring us back into relationship with himself. Jesus, as God, became fully man so that he could bear our sins on the cross. Listen, can you hear it? Or look, these candles are very small, but they're punching a hole in the darkness. And the truth is that Jesus has come to remove the darkness from our lives, to enter our lives, and to save us from our sin. There's a little chorus I'm going to invite you to sing with me. And the words are just very, very simple. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, that's the name of Jesus, God with us. That's the meaning of that name, Emmanuel. His name is called Emmanuel, God with us. And he wants to be revealed in us. His name is called Emmanuel. Would you sing it with me? Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel, God with us. Build in us. His name is called Emmanuel. 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 His name is called Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us.
is called Emmanuel. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
You stand with us.
Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake.